The Gospel according to Luke and the 6th chapter. It's an interesting experience for me to be able to go into a church where nobody knows me and not have to be the pastor. Luke chapter 6 and the 17th verse is where we left off a couple of weeks ago when we were together. I didn't see Rob this morning, but I want to thank him for filling in for me the last couple of weeks and letting our class share with his in their Sunday morning Bible study. Let's begin back at verse 12, get the context here. We discussed this and will not again, but let's get the setting. And it came to pass in those days that he, that is Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. And we talked about how he had many disciples, many followers, many learners, but from them he made a selection of 12 specifically that he would pour his life into and then send them forth. The word apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos, which means sent one or messenger. And then the list is given. Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes or the Zealot, Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Excuse me. And then we pick up today at the 17th verse. I'm going to ask Jerry Earnhardt if he'll begin to read there, and we'll just read a verse at a time. Jerry?
And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases.
You notice how Luke does this almost every time he describes the ministry of Jesus. He tells us the twofold ministry of Christ. And that is to do what? Okay, he preached and he healed. Why is it that so many Christians have trouble understanding that the ministry of Jesus involves healing? Why is that the case? I mean, wasn't that his earthly ministry? Didn't he preach and heal? Why should we think he's not doing the same thing today? If it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever, according to Hebrews chapter 13, why is he not in the healing business today? Why is it so much trouble for us? They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Now, excuse me, if the ministry of Jesus was to preach the word and to heal the people of their diseases, follow me now, and if the church is the body of Christ, then what should the ministry of the church be? It ought to be the same thing. It ought to be to preach the word of God and to heal the people of their diseases. Shouldn't it? And we ought to find out why it is we can't do. When I say we, you understand that it's not we, us, ourselves. You follow what I'm saying? But why it is that we, why it is that we are not sufficiently endued with the capability and the power of the Holy Ghost to do the same things that Jesus did. In fact, didn't he say, the works that I do, not just the words that I preach, but the works that I do, so shall ye also do, and what else did he say? Greater works, more abundant of them shall you do, because I go to the Father. When I go to the Father, I send the Comforter to endue you with the same capacity, the same power, the same, excuse me, the same ability. And for me, I've got to say to you that that I personally, in my life and in the life of our church, am not now and have never been satisfied with the fact that we are not moving in the fullness of the ministry of the body of Christ, in my judgment. I'm not satisfied with it. I never will be satisfied with it until the day I breathe my last breath, or until we are flowing in the same ministry that Jesus had when he was here. When I watch the power of God, when I see in other ministries, When I see the power of God in manifestation, and I see people being touched in physical as well as spiritual ways, it touches something down deep on the inside of me that I don't know how to describe to you. And there's a hunger in me to move in that fashion, because I know that that is the ministry of the body of Christ. They came, Jerry read, to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Hallelujah. And over again, especially in the Gospel of Luke, I'm sure Luke identifies this probably more frequently than the other gospel writers, because what was Luke's profession? He was a doctor. And so he would really, this would really minister to him, knowing the complexity of diseases and people's illnesses and the suffering of people and how these things affect the human condition, that this would be an important facet. Don't you? When you see somebody who's sick, or somebody who's crippled, or somebody who's really hurting, doesn't your heart break for them? And wouldn't you do something for them if you could? Don't you want to do something for them? So I think that's not just human compassion. That's the Spirit of God in us. I really believe that that's the Spirit of God. The Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. You know what that means? Is that his compassion caused him to act. He did not just feel sorry for them. That's one thing, to feel sorry. But his compassion for them, his love, moved him. It sponsored an action in him. And he had the capacity to minister to them, and his compassion caused him to be moved in that way. When we feel that way towards another person whom we see in that condition, I remember, I've always had a compassion, just a general compassion. You learn these things humanly in your families, you know, as you grow up, and you kind of pick up from your parents and so on and so forth. But when I was first saved and when the Lord came into my heart, I can't tell you how that changed on the inside of me. I remember the first time I saw a person in a wheelchair. This almost broke my heart. It's the compassion of God, and his compassion in us moves us to want to do something for people who are in that condition. I tell you, I just really want to do it so badly. And but we don't have the power in us, to do it on our own, do we? If we did, wouldn't you go with me down to the hospital this afternoon, or down here to the back, the nursing home down here, and burn all the wheelchairs? I mean, wouldn't we? Yeah. It's only the power of God. Now, interesting here, you remember when we were talking about Jesus in Nazareth? This is, we'll just say this in passing because we've talked about it in the past before, you know, on several occasions, but you remember when Jesus was in Nazareth, and he could there do no mighty works? Then he went to Capernaum, and he was doing miracles here, there, and everywhere. And in Nazareth, why couldn't he do any mighty works there? Because of their unbelief. So do you notice the connection here? They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. You do not get the healing power of God in our lives apart from the Word of God, because the power is in his Word. Jesus, when we read in Matthew 13 and in Mark chapter 6, the parallel passages about Jesus' ministry in Nazareth, and we could say that his ministry in Nazareth was a failure. He could not there do many mighty works because of their unbelief. And so Mark 6 says, what did he do? Well, not just yet. What did he do? He went about their villages teaching them. Because that is the answer for how does faith come, according to Romans 10:17? By hearing what? Hearing the Word of God. So if he couldn't do any mighty works there because of their unbelief, then what is the answer for unbelief? It's teaching the Word of God, because the power in the Word of God is to produce and generate faith in us. Amen. And so the ministry of Jesus, you see how his ministry is the preaching of the Word and the healing of the diseases, how that goes together. You do not get them separately. It does not happen separately. In fact, if you want to look at something interesting, look with me at Acts 8 a minute. This is just one example that comes to mind right now. There are many of them in the Scriptures. But here's one that is really dramatic, I think. If you're sick, in other words, if you're sick and you want divine healing, the way it will come to you is through the hearing and the believing of the Word of God. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and what did he do? He preached Christ unto them. He preached the Word. He declared the Word, taught the people about the Lord. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. What does that mean, gave heed? They believed it. They accepted it and believed it. And then look what happened. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. But what was Philip's ministry? It was preaching the Word. It was healing the sick. Look at, you can let loose of that and look at Mark 16 with me. And verse 20. Last verse in Mark's Gospel. And they went forth. This is the apostles now after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. And they went forth, and what did they do? They preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the Word with signs following. So you don't get the signs without the Word. Because the Word comes, it generates faith in the people that hear it, and the Lord is in the midst of that, confirming that Word with signs following. Now, this is what I feel my work is. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, I just share this with you since it comes up today. Verse 8, the first part. The Solomon is talking here about... let's begin to read in verse 1. You get the context. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, that is wisdom, wisdom based on the Word of God. She shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And then verse 8, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. Exalt wisdom, and she shall promote thee. What I believe my calling is to exalt the Word of God. And let the Word of God produce the things that God wants to produce in my life and in my ministry. And so what you see in my ministry is a high regard for the Word of God. And it's because of that passage right there. That's what I feel I'm called to do. All right, let's go back to Luke 6 again then. Let's pick up our study here. Jerry said that Jesus came down from the mountain after appointing his apostles, and he stood in the plain. This will be important to us in a little bit. Stood in the plain. And the people came from everywhere. They came from the north. They came from the south. They came from the Mediterranean coast where Tyre and Sidon are. And then they heard where he was. They came to listen to his teaching and also to have their diseases healed. Verse 18, Jan. Okay, what's an unclean spirit? What does he mean by that? Demons. Demons. Are demons real things? Are they real personalities? Absolutely they are. They are diabolical. They're the servants of the devil. And they vex people. They harass people. They trouble people. But Jesus has power not only over diseases, he has power also over devils. Those that were vexed with these unclean, unholy, wicked, demonic spirits, they also were healed or delivered or set free. Hallelujah. We've seen that, haven't we, Jerry? Huh? Time and again. Glory to God. Now see, even in that area, see that we know how to get a person saved, don't we? We know how to get a person delivered from demon spirits. We're not real good yet on getting people healed of their diseases. Well, of course you would be going crazy with that. There's no need for that, though. If you understand that dying is not the worst thing that happened to a person. Hallelujah. Dying without Jesus is the worst thing that can happen. You know?
That's right.
And I'm saying we ought to encourage it in anybody. You understand? Now, Martha, should you hear those voices? What I showed you how to do, that's what you do. Get out of my mind in Jesus' name. You speak to their demonic spirits. They must obey the name of Jesus. And you have authority to use that name. See? You have the same authority that Jesus had. He gave it to you. And in fact, in Mark 16, the passage we were just reading, it says, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils.
Yeah.
So you have the power to take charge over your own mind and to not be troubled with that. So should they try to reaccess you again and to trouble you again, you speak to them out loud, directly, always use the name of Jesus, because that's where your authority is.
Mm-hmm. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
That's right. Okay. Well, let's see. So they came to hear Jesus and to be healed of their diseases, and those that were troubled and harassed by demonic spirits, they also were cured, healed, delivered, set free. Verse 19, Mike.
And the whole multitude sought to touch him. They sought to touch Jesus, but went virtue out of him and healed them all.
Read that again, the last part.
For there went virtue out of him and healed them all.
How many didn't get it? Nobody didn't get it. Is that correct grammatically? Right. Nobody didn't get it. That's a double negative. Two negatives make a positive. Is that right? No. Nobody didn't get it means everybody did.
Right.
I tell you, my Bible, I have all. Every time I see an all, I underline it. All. He healed them all. Some will say, well, healing's not for everybody. I say, show it to me in the book.
Right.
Show it to me. Don't tell me about your personal experience. Don't tell me about your doctrinal tradition. Show it to me in the book.
Right.
This is the Word of God. This is the wisdom of God. I don't want your wisdom. I want God's wisdom. Heal them all. Now, let me tell you, healing them all is good news. Healing them some is not good news. The gospel is good news. Now notice it says that virtue went out of him. The Greek word here that is translated virtue is the same Greek word that is translated most other places, power. This is the Greek word dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. Dunamis. It is the same translation. We would not say virtue today. We would say power, healing power. When they touched him, healing power went out of him into them and drove the diseases out of their bodies. The lady who had the issue of blood, do you remember the woman that had the feminine hemorrhage? And when she came to Jesus and touched, she said, if I can just touch just the hem of his garment. And she came to him in the press of the crowd, and she did in fact touch that. And the scripture says that when she touched him, Jesus felt virtue flow from him. There's an anointing, the presence of the power of the Spirit of God in us. You can feel it. And you can feel it flowing. It's there all the time. But when God is ministering healing through you, and oftentimes we want to touch, and many times that's the way that it's not an essential for the flow of the power of God. We know that. But that point of contact does, it's an aid to faith in some way, I guess. And it causes that power to be released, and it is something that can be felt. If you've ever prayed for the sick, if you've prayed very often for the sick, you've experienced this. You lay your hands on somebody, you touch them, and I don't mean you just like this. You don't have to lay hands on them that way, you can lay hands on them this way. You just touch them, just a point of contact. And you can feel the power flowing. Sometimes it's like a jolt, sometimes it's a tingle, sometimes it's almost imperceptible. But you can feel the flow. You just feel it flowing. Oftentimes we'd be standing in a circle praying, and you're holding hands, maybe like we're praying here today, this morning, early, you know, and you can feel the power of God flowing through you. Have you experienced that? It's the strangest thing. I have noticed oftentimes when I'm praying with somebody like that, I have them on both sides, I have noted how the power will flow one way and not the other. I'll feel it. I mean, I can feel. I may not even know who I'm praying with here. Oftentimes we're in the congregation, and I will have you to just join hands, and let's just pray for each other. And we begin to pray. And all of a sudden, you just feel this. You can sense the anointing of God. It is a tangible thing. It's not some wispy kind of ethereal ghost-like thing. This is a tangible thing that can be experienced and felt. And you can feel the power of God flowing here and not flowing over here. What's happening? This person's drawing it. This person's not. Tangible power.
You know, Pastor, when was when Jan tore her teeth a couple years ago? When she dropped that, pulled a cord down and hit her and busted her teeth up. And we took her to the dentist, and ever since we won't have surgery. And, you know, Jen and I just wasn't, you know, we didn't have a peace about her going to surgery. And, double root canal, we just didn't feel a peace about it. So we brought her to church Sunday, and we'll have the surgery on Tuesday. We brought her down there, and you prayed. It was you and Jen and I and Lauren was there, and you laid hands, and I could really just feel the power, you know, come out of you and touch her. And I think you let a big whoa out. And I knew right then. You know, I felt the power. I like Jen, I said, she's not having surgery. She's healed. I believe it. So we took her to another dentist, and they had to, we took the old x-rays, they took new x-rays, and couldn't even find the damage.
Praise God.
And the day the teeth is, we had the teeth repaired. All we had to do is we had them squared off, but the teeth didn't turn black and nothing like they said. So if you don't get it, it'll turn black. And it ain't turned black or nothing. BF says.
Power of God.
And I could feel it. So when I knew right then, I told Jen, I said, she's healed. I felt it. I said, mm-hmm. I just felt God just touch her.
Power of God. The virtue, power of God. Oftentimes, when you pray for someone who has never experienced that before, and they feel that, and they don't know what that is, and oftentimes you will feel them, as you pray for someone, you'll see them, they'll jerk. What's happening there? The power of God is touching them. At other times, when it comes, when it flows just very, very simply, very, very gently, and oftentimes people won't even say anything to you. They'll feel it. They know what it is. And they won't ask you about it. But many times they will say, "What is that that I feel?" Oftentimes, when I'm praying for people in a prayer line, as I'm praying for them, I always pray. If I'm going to pray for somebody in a prayer line, if I'm going to pray for anybody, I pray until I'm satisfied that I've done everything I can do. And sometimes you get an actual flow of the power of God. And other times, it's not a tangible flow. You can't actually feel it flow. But many times, as I'm praying for someone, and I will just lay hands upon them and begin to pray for them, and there isn't anything particular going on, and just continue to pray and just be open to the Lord. And all of a sudden, here comes the power begin to flow, and the next thing you know, the person's on their back. Now, what's happening there? There's no connection made at first, but as you continue to pray, things are happening in the realm of the Spirit. That person touches the Lord, and the switch opens up, and here it comes. But it's not always tangible either. I mean, and you can't depend upon, you know, you can't depend upon that. As we don't live by our feelings, you understand? And we live on the basis of what God said in His Word, and whether we feel it or don't feel it, that is not the thing that gives us confidence in God's willingness or ability to move on our behalf. But I have to say to you, somebody said once that he wouldn't want a faith that he couldn't feel, because he might lose it and never know it. And I like that. I'm just grateful to the Lord that we can experience Him in a tangible way. I saw a hand over here.
You're talking about the touch, and I was thinking about the handkerchiefs that Paul prayed for, and when those handkerchiefs left Paul and went on to somebody else, and you can carry the same handkerchief that he prayed over it, the same virtue that was in Paul went to those handkerchiefs.
Yes. Yes.
And years ago, a lady invited me over for lunch, and after lunch, she said she was concerned about her husband, and she really couldn't talk to him about some matters, but we pray over some handkerchiefs and put one under his pillow and one under the mattress for healing of their marriage and one for his mind be renewed in Christ. And I thought, okay. And so I never tried that one before. And I said, we'll pray. I mean, I can't see why.
God's a big God.
Yeah, so we took the handkerchiefs and we laid them all out and we laid our hands on them and prayed for them. And I think she got the oil out, the little oil out of her good measure, and stuck him in the pillow, his pillow, and underneath them.
Poor guy.
And quietly went about her business. And a couple years later, man, it worked. You know, just doesn't work.
Well, I'm reminded of the story of you know, we talk about the tangibility of the anointing of God. You remember the Hebrew prophet that died, and they put him in his grave. And of course, it wasn't a grave like we have; it was more like a cave. And they don't fill him up with dirt. It was Elisha, if I'm not mistaken. I believe, yeah, it was Elisha. Of course, it was Elisha. And some years later, I haven't read this story in a while, but if I remember correctly, they had, I forget why the man died, but the fellow died anyway. And they didn't have time to prepare him and really get him ready for burial and so on. And so they just put him in Elisha's grave and went on. And when his bones hit Elisha's bones, he came back to life again. You remember that? Well, there's something in that old man's bones. What was in there? It was the anointing of God. It was the virtue. It was dunamis in that old man's bones. The skin and the muscle and the flesh had disappeared. All of that had turned to dust. But the bones were still there, and the power was still in the bones. Now, you explain that to me. You can't. It's the power of God. It's the anointing of God. Virtue. A tangible, tangible thing. And so, so when the multitude, as they sought to touch him, there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. Everybody say, and healed them all. Say that again. And healed them all. Let me ask you this question. Is there anyone whom Jesus will turn away? I can find not a single place in the Scripture. Not one. By faith in Jesus Christ. Yes. Donna?
Barbara was reminding me Tuesday. When I taught kindergarten and she was my aide, and we were standing in a circle holding hands praying, and I heard a thump. And I opened my eyes and this little girl was on the floor, and she jumped up and her eyes were big and she said, I didn't fall. And she was trying to let us know that she didn't just deliberately fall. It was the power of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tangible power. We ought not to, it's not something that we ought to seek after, like an evil and adulterous generation, seeking after signs. On the other hand, we ought not to deny those things when we see them occur and when we sense them occurring. And I really, it's my, if Jesus is no respecter of persons, and if he reveals himself to one person in this way, that we have a real physical experience with him, then don't you think it is appropriate for others to expect the same? When I realized, and I realized this from my wife and from some other ladies who had, I thought I was saved, back years ago. I wasn't, but I thought I was. But there was nothing tangible on which I could confirm my salvation. Consequently, it was easy for me to be deceived. But when some of these ladies, including my wife, began to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and with that experience, there was a tangible evidence. What was the tangible evidence? They could speak in other tongues. I said, well, that's something I know I don't have. And I wanted it. And I went after it. If it hadn't been for that, I never would have been born again. I could still be a lost man. And these other things, as we share these experiences, you know, the things that God's doing in our lives, my prayer is that it will encourage all of us to press on for more and not to be satisfied with where we are. My prayer is that a hunger and a thirst will rise up in the hearts of others when they hear testimonies like that. Amen. Anyone else want to ask a question about? I'm going to stop right here. Martha?
Say something. I'm just quite ignorant. But I was sitting there. I got up out of bed about 2, and I was having these problems, you know. And I said a little prayer, and then I sat there and I was so tired, I exhausted, getting no sleep. And all of a sudden, my foot just jerked like that, and I never paid much attention. I thought there was something wrong with me. But maybe God was there, and he showed me.
You know, your experience, Martha, the days ahead for you, you're going to be like a little girl. The Lord has so many things that he wants to teach you. And I don't know about that particular experience, but as things are happening in your life that you're unaware of, you ask the Lord, Lord, what is that? What's going on here? And you're his girl. I mean, you're his daughter. And he'll talk to you. And he'll show you these things. He will impress you on the inside with what's going on in your life. And you will understand spiritual things now that you never understood before. And every day will be, it's like a whole new vista for you. Anyone else? All right, well, let's bring our class to a conclusion. And we'll pick up our discussion next week with the 20th verse.